Woo-zoo, Tanya Talaga Nagisnikas. You are listening to Sean and Carl on One Dish, One Mic, AM 610, CKTB, the voice of Niagara.
Maybe we'll ask the listeners. Listeners, we are back. We are live. If you could text me in, who says it's a good day to be Indian? What's that from? It's from a movie. Text it in. First prize gets a,
Shout out on the air.
You get a shout out
on the air.
Yeah,
that's
right. We have nothing to give you. I'll buy you a coffee.
I think we already have some shout outs on the air too, right?
We do. And I don't know how to work this computer, but I'll figure it out. Happy Father's Day to you, Carl.
Oh, well,
and
thank you.
And Sean.
Oh, that's so thoughtful.
Happy Indigenous Peoples Day and Father's Day to the both of you.
Yeah, right on.
Well, happy Indigenous Peoples Day. Whatever day it is, they always change the name. Aboriginal Day, Solidarity Day.
Yeah, people in our community have been calling it Indigenous Solidarity Day, which I think is pretty cool. Like, it's got that killer political...
I was listening to you on the air with Tom McConnell.
Okay.
And I don't think you guys came to a conclusion. There's no definitive answer.
We can investigate. We are journalists. We're not just talking heads here. We're getting to the hard news. So we will give the official title of this year's name for Aboriginal, Indigenous, Solidarity, Native Peoples, Togetherness Day. Yes. And it won't be that. It'll be something substantial. So I kind of want to share the story about Jules Siwi,
okay,
the chief that all the way back in 1943 was lobbying the Canadian government to recognize Indigenous rights.
Like we've been doing since.
Like we've been doing for almost a year. Yeah, right. For 51 straight weeks. That's what we've been doing on One Dish, One Mic.
Yes.
Oh, I thought you had a thought.
I have lots of ideas there.
So Jules Siwi goes and he says to Parliament Hill, okay, I want you to acknowledge the treaty agreements. It's been 50 years since you last acknowledged these treaty agreements. And what do you think they did at Parliament Hill? Do you think they welcomed him with open arms?
That's what they've been doing since they came over. Since we came over.
Whoever the Prime Minister was at the time said that there's nothing more important than Indigenous rights in the framework to the government 1943. That's not what happened.
No, definitely not.
They said get out of here, and so he got 50 other chiefs and they went to Parliament Hill and they said you're going to listen to us, and he said further to that we're going to be back next year, and he brought 200 chiefs with him, and that was eventually what led to the Assembly of First Nations, and that's what eventually led to the establishment of I think they called it like Indian Day back then, because everything was super, you know, Aunt Jemima was everywhere, Land O'Lakes was on the butter, and the Washington Redskins were a thing. I'm glad that's all been changed now.
Yeah, exactly. So much has changed.
Right?
Well, at least Aunt Jemima's gone.
Yeah, and the Land O'Lakes. Indigenous lady.
They do the things that don't really matter.
Right.
We got rid of the butter and the syrup. Like, breakfast sucks now, but racism still exists.
There's still butter. You can have non-racist butter and non-racist syrup. So, I don't even want to touch that nerve because people are pretty upset about
it. I don't care. Jesus
Christ. Right?
Am I allowed to say Jesus? I don't know. Regardless, I heard Tom McConnell say you pissed me off on air. So I'm like, if he can say it, then
is this our new goal? Let's push the limit of like.
No, my goal is to.
This is how we get into trouble. This is how you get us. I should clarify. This is how you get us into trouble.
My goal is not to get Tom McConnell mad.
I'm going to push the line as far as I can push it.
No,
I think that's your show prep every week. How close to the
can
line
we talk
can
about something productive?
What does Indigenous Day mean to you?
Well, in Indian country. This is known as National Gig Day.
Not this year, right?
No, it's like, again, my big thing is that it's Indigenous Peoples History Month, and this is Indigenous Peoples Day. So we take the month to learn, we take the month to acknowledge, we take the month to read the books, support the authors, and then this is the day for us to celebrate. I think what happened last year with Niagara Regional Native Center, 40 Native Friendship Center, was fantastic. We had the opportunity to come together with two communities. We had the opportunity to bring in Superman, and it was a really big celebration. So I'm looking forward to seeing what 40 Erie does next year.
By sheer coincidence, actually, yeah, Superman was our introvert. Or maybe Steve knew. Steve Martin is a pretty talented producer, so maybe he knew.
I knew.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. Good stuff. Good stuff. So yeah, that was the headline act last year, and Superman, yep, of course, led us into the show. So yeah, I'm excited for Indigenous Day. It's kind of a new thing for me though. So I feel like working at a friendship center, we have a job to we had a drive-through barbecue yesterday.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah,
you did.
Yeah, I didn't have a final number, but we must have had like hundreds of people that came and got a hot dog and some strawberry juice.
You gave me some cookies and they were fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's right. I don't know if I'm allowed to give you cookies because you're an NRNC guy. So I may or may not acknowledge that I snuck Sean some Fort Erie Native Friendship Center Indian cookies.
Well, that's rude. This is awkward.
Right.
Sorry, Jennifer. I ate your cookies. They were delicious. All right.
So, but I do think it's important to acknowledge that this did stem from a fight for Indigenous rights, and that fight is ongoing. There was going to be, for example, a national Indigenous holiday. I was all right with that, you know, like of all the things you could do, you know, I would rather there be a task force on missing and murdering Indigenous women.
I mean, I'd rather than national Indigenous holiday. Something.
Yeah, but I mean,
just one thing.
Right,
please.
Now, technically, there's neither, because this isn't technically any kind of a stat holiday or any sort of federally recognized. It's sort of an idea. It's a concept.
I was just referring to the government. Like, listen, if you're running for a federal, as a member of parliament in the next federal election, this is what I want from the potential MPs out there. Commit to one thing and just do one thing. I almost swore. Just do
have
one thing.
Ever followed politics? Like, that's not how it works.
I know that's not how it works. But this is what I want. Just one thing. Like, missing and murdered Indigenous women? Yeah, let's get out the action plan.
Yeah.
Truth and Reconciliation Report? Maybe adopt some of them. Maybe complete more than 10 and have 50 in progress and 37 not started. Oh, my goodness.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Just one thing. That's all I want.
What about the holiday? Would you be, like, if they made a stat, because they were going to make, I think, Orange Shirt Day was going to be a day that nationally Canada was going to acknowledge the harm done in residential schools.
Yeah.
I thought that was actually a good idea, because as much as I want to celebrate today, or again, I don't really take part in National Gig Day, but I know, honestly, it helps people. But I thought that centering it around residential schools was important, too. But that died on the floor. That's my understanding. Is they were well on their way to making it a holiday, and then the election got called, and then never got revisited. And now, you know, we're busy with COVID, so I get that part of it.
Yeah.
What do you think about a national day? Does it matter to you?
Does it matter to me? Yeah, every day is a good day to be Indian. I don't listen. I wake up every morning and I celebrate. The last thing I need is the government to tell me when to celebrate, when not to celebrate. Sorry, I'm on this anti-government. It's a McDonald's coffee. Normally I get Tim Hortons coffee.
You're acting like you're just suddenly on this anti-government, like just today, like just out of the blue. Normally every other segment I'm like pro-government and Justin Trudeau's wonderful and Chris Biddle's working so hard for us and maybe Vance Badaway will come on the show one day.
Also, like, Vance Badaway, can you come on our show? You're one of seven Indigenous MPs, or 11, or however many there are, and you don't come on our show.
We shouldn't. I don't know if we should say this, but I'm going to say this on the air. We had it well underway, and then Wet'suwet'en happened, and that just, there was just a little bit of an ideological divide, I think, between our camps when it came to Wet'suwet'en and maybe where the federal government stood on that.
Yeah, well.
Which is funny, because back in February, one dish, one mic, you know, way on one side of the issue, the federal government way on the other side of the issue. And then, what was it, like last month that Carolyn Bennett and others acknowledged the framework that actually did acknowledge that Wet'suwet'en traditional people had title to the land?
I mean, 20-something years after the Delgama case, when they were supposed to actually do this? Like,
yeah, well, and several months after digging in and posturing, too, basically effectively against hereditary chiefs.
I don't understand government officials. Like, it's...
You love them, though. Of the two of us, I think you're the political guy, right? You're the one that, so, one but day, I'm, but Prime I'm, Minister Sean.
I'm an idealist. Like, I think that I will fundamentally change the system. I really do.
Okay.
But I don't see it happening anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, the status quo has not been good for Indigenous people.
No, we have Indigenous people in, well, that's Leah Gazin, member of Winnipeg, NDP member. She's fantastic.
Okay.
Mumulak Kakak?
Yeah.
Kakak?
Yeah. Yeah, good.
From Northwest, no, none of it.
Yeah.
None of it.
Yeah,
fantastic.
Right. Yeah.
Coincidentally, these are all NDPers, too.
I thought you were going to name them all.
Yeah.
So, Jody Wilson-Raybould.
Jody Wilson-Raybould.
Where are you on her?
Where am I her? Well, listen. You're Indigenous. You got to do what you got to do.
Okay.
So, she gets a pass.
She wrote a scathing
editorial. I'm not going to talk about this on air. We're not allowed to criticize Indigenous people other than Vance Badaway.
Jody Wilson-Raybould wrote a scathing editorial on criminal justice reform, and I read it, and I was kind of going like, you're the Minister of Justice.
Yeah.
And yet you're writing this scathing. Now, her argument is basically that she couldn't do the things that she wanted to do. Mandatory minimum sentences was the big one.
Yep.
Like when McKay or O'Toole or one of the more right-wing people that's running for the Conservative Party, I think they're going back to the mandatory minimum sentences. I think they're going to like take advantage of the Toronto Sun's big splashy headlines that people get shot, violence is out of control, and then we'll have mandatory minimum sentences. But Jody Wilson-Raybould said you have to throw that out.
That's going to be if they take this stance, and let's say McKay wins the leadership bid,
yeah,
for the Conservatives, like that is going to destroy the country. Right, we have people on the left calling for abolishing police.
Yeah.
Right? Talking about systemic racism.
Yep.
And then we have people on the right saying mandatory sentences. Like, that, I cannot imagine a more polarizing topic.
So Robin,
to debate alone.
Robin Doolittle, not an Indigenous writer, but a great journalist, wrote about in Had It Coming, her latest book. She talked about how we like to look at the Americans and go, oh, Democrats and Republicans, they're so polarized.
Yep.
But if you look at the information, Canada's headed in the same direction. Like, just where there's, you know, abolish the police way over here.
Yeah.
And then on the other side, law and order, mandatory minimum sentences, lock them up, throw away the key. So, yeah, I'm afraid of, and I don't see, to shift a little bit with the upcoming Conservative leadership race, I don't see a path out of this. I don't think Aaron O'Toole or Peter McKay is any kind of a compromise, you know, centrist candidate, like a John Tory type, you know, that could.
Yeah. Wait.
I don't think.
Yeah, just to be clear, we don't like John Tory.
Yeah, but John Tory was a red Tory. Like, he ran in the middle.
Yeah, but just to be clear, we don't like liberals either.
Okay, I don't know about your political leanings. About your political. I don't.
Am I allowed to say this?
Is there. What? Again, it wouldn't be breaking news if Sean had a certain partisan bent that I think everybody knows about. So, I don't know. Do you think, like, if it's O'Toole or McKay, which is the likely candidate,
yeah,
do you think any of them is going to make any room with Indigenous people? Or
oh, no,
make
not
any
at
progress?
All. I mean,
do they care? They just write it off?
But, so in order to be progressive, you actually be you have to be progressive. And there's no path to which they can be more progressive and appease their base. That does not exist. So the only other way for them to go is far to the right.
Okay.
Right? They can't be between who's the leader now?
Shear.
Andrew Shear.
Yeah.
It's a damn McDonald's coffee. They can't be between Andrew Shear and Justin Trudeau, right? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to go right to Shear. And it's going to be polarizing. It is. I mean, again, let's be honest. These guys are kind of older, too, and they're not going to... They're going to follow in Donald Trump's footsteps, I think. Polarize it, fake news, so on and so forth.
Some of this is the selection process. Because what will happen is that McKay or O'Toole could come more to the middle or move a little bit to the left from where they are. But because of the nomination and the delegate process, kind of like what we talked about with Senator Brazeau.
Yeah.
Like, there's this whole delegate process. So they're going to be pushed into socially... Like, the other two candidates running are social conservatives.
Yeah.
So they're going to want to court the delegates from those social conservative candidates. And that's going to push them further to the right, which I think is going to polarize the party. If they do win, then it's going to alienate the left completely because they're not going to be able to meet them in the middle because they're going to have to play to their base. But then it's the same thing with the progressive parties. Like, again, they have to play to their left-leaning base. And I don't see a path where Canada just doesn't become more divided with its current political system.
And yes, just to be clear, left-leaning, we don't play to our base. I just want to make this clear. We follow our hearts, Carl.
Okay.
The morals and ethics that take part, not following, pleading to our base.
We should, maybe in the next segment, we will touch on, I know I said we were going to try and have fun today, but we might just unpack systemic racism a little bit. That's a real ratings grab right there. but I think we'll talk about some of the mechanics of abolishing the police. We're still the statute, too. We've got to talk about the statute. And in the fourth segment, Sean and I have a super exciting announcement. The announcement is so exciting that we each bought our own blazer, hired a photographer, went for a hike in the woods, and pumped up this announcement a little bit. And we'll make that announcement in the fourth segment of the show. But after this, we're probably going to yell at statues. Oh, also, keep sending your texts in. Text us at 1010. And as long as it's not racist, we'll give a shout out to your dad. From a place where everyone knows your face.